Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John, chapter 7. John, chapter 7, in verses 16 and 17. John, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself." And the subject this evening is the key to Christian knowledge. The key to Christian knowledge. So we continue this evening in our series working through this gospel according to John. We are in chapter 7, and this chapter occurs at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, as you may recall from our last study. Chapter 6, remember, was at the time of the Passover. Chapter 7 is at the time of the Feast of the Tabernacles. So there is around 6 months. A six-month gap between chapter 6 and chapter 7, and also to remind you that we are in the last year of the Lord's ministry. He ministered, he preached for 3 years, and this is the third year. When we come to chapter 7, this is the third year, the last year of the Lord's ministry, and it's the year of opposition. The leading Jews want to do away with him. They want to kill him, so much so that he cannot walk any longer in Judea, in Jewry, as we read in the first verse. He cannot go to Jerusalem, for example, freely, because it is too dangerous. We will read in this chapter that he does eventually go to Jerusalem, but generally speaking, his life is at risk, and so he is limited to Galilee and the regions around Galilee, including Nazareth, where he was raised. And we read and considered last time how his own brethren did not believe in him. The other children of Joseph and Mary, his cousins, they did not believe in him, and they seemed to want him to depart from them. But the Lord gives the reason why he is so hated. Why is the Lord Jesus Christ so despised and so rejected of men? Well, in verse 7 we read, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." And this is what people hate about Christ. This is what they hate about Christianity, the teaching on sin. People so often say, don't they, that they don't mind the other religions, they can tolerate those other religious teachings and philosophies, but they don't like Christianity. And the reason why they do not like Christianity is because of the teaching on sin. That causes great offense. But the Lord, of course, knows this. "The world will hate me because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." And that is very true. But of course, the Word of God doesn't just teach us that we are sinners. We have to remember that. It teaches us that we may be forgiven all of our sins, that there is free forgiveness, that we are saved by grace, unlimited forgiveness, no matter what we have done. When we come confessing our sins to the Lord, we shall be forgiven. So this is good news. But in order to have the good news, you have to have the bad news. And the Lord has to testify that we are sinners. So all of these things we considered last time. But then we read in verse 10, "But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret." So this is, of course, the Feast of the Tabernacles. It was a great feast, one of the three great annual feasts of the Jewish calendar. There was Passover, there was Pentecost, And then there was the Feast of the Tabernacles, this one here, when, remember, the Jews would stay in booths to remind themselves of how they dwelt in tents in the wilderness. So this is the Feast of the Tabernacles. So all the Jews would travel to Jerusalem, but the Lord is going separately. He's not going up with the crowd, with his brethren. They would travel in groups, in large groups to these feasts. Sometimes they would be called caravans, large groups of people. But the Lord Jesus does not go with the great group. He does not go up with his brethren. He goes in secret. And the reason why that is because, of course, the Lord did not want to attract attention to himself. His life was at risk. And of course, it was never the nature of the Lord Jesus Christ to attract attention to himself, as we shall read in these verses. His purpose, his desire was to point to the Lord and to glorify God, his Father. But then when they get to the feast, well, verse 11, then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" Now, this no doubt must be the leading Jews, the Jews who want to kill him. So they are looking for the Lord Jesus at this feast. They want to lay hands on him. They want to do away with him. They think that this Feast of Tabernacles is going to be a prime opportunity. And when they don't see him there, well, they are saying to themselves, "Where is he? If he is here, we will get him, we will arrest him, but where is he?" And then verse 12, there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." So there was a division amongst the people. Some said, "He is a good man." Some said, "He deceives the people." Well, there is, of course, still that division even now. The two groups of people, the only two groups of people in the world, those who are on the Lord's side, those who hate the Lord. But verse 13, howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So this was the environment at the time. Nobody could speak openly in favor of the Lord Jesus Christ because they were afraid. They knew that the leading Jews hated the Lord Jesus Christ. And so even though people had different opinions, not everyone thought that the Lord Jesus was deceiving people. Some thought he was a good man, but they were afraid to say it. They were afraid to openly declare their support for the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, dear friends, how common this is. How common it is that people will not profess faith, will not show any interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is that? Not because they're not interested. It's because of the fear of men. It's because they fear. What will people say? Just as there was a fear of the Jews. We can't show any interest in the Lord Jesus Christ. What will they say about us? What will they do to us? And so it's the same nowadays. So many people, they would love to know the Lord. They would love to hear of Christian things, but they are ruled by fear. What will my family say? What will my friends say? What will my work colleagues say? I will go down in their estimation if I seek after the Lord. This is the way of the world. And this is how Satan works. This is how Satan keeps you away from God. It's fear. Fear. And this is so very sad. But this was the atmosphere, and I hope we can get an idea of this great picture. But no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. But let me move on to verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" So there comes a stage in the Feast of the Tabernacles when the Lord Jesus does make himself known. We read here in the midst of the feast. So the feast lasted 7 days. Perhaps it was maybe on the third or on the fourth day, the Lord makes himself known publicly in Jerusalem. He goes up into the temple and he teaches. And the Jews, well, what do they say about him? They belittle him, saying, "How knoweth this man letters, having never learned?" In other words, how does this Jesus of Nazareth know so much about the scriptures when he has never been to a theological school, as they had in Jerusalem at that time? They had theological schools. The Lord Jesus, he had never been to those schools. They knew that. They knew that he had never sat at the feet of Gamaliel, like the Apostle Paul had sat at the feet of Gamaliel to be instructed. And so they are saying, how can this person, how can this man who has never been to a place of education, how can he know all of these things that he is teaching? And well, we get the answer. Verse 16, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Well, that may seem a strange answer, but it is a very wonderful answer. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. In other words, what is the Lord saying? He is saying, everything that I say, everything that I speak is of the Father, is of God. And we know this. This is what we have considered in this gospel. Christ is the Word of God, the incarnate Word. God the Father expresses himself, reveals himself through the Son, through the Lord Jesus Christ. What he speaks, what Christ speaks, is of God. And he will go on to say in chapter 8, "As my Father hath taught me, I speak." So this is what the Lord is saying. My doctrine is from God. When I speak, when I open my mouth, it is from God and it is of God. And this is the point. God doesn't need any seminary. God doesn't need any earthly education. Of course not. He is God. He's all-knowing. He is all-wise. You are asking me which university I've gone to. What education have I received? And this is my answer. I have a divine source of knowledge which is far higher than any seminary or any institution. Where do I get my knowledge and my understanding? It is from God, far higher than any of your teachers, far higher than any of the teachers of the Pharisees and of the scribes. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. So that is what he is saying. I am taught of God, and no man teaches God. No man educates God. He is higher than anything you could ever learn on this world, in this earth. So this is how the Lord answers them. And it is a wonderful and a perfect answer. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. But then he goes on to say some interesting words, and this will be our prime focus this evening. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And actually, let's just add verse 18 to that. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now, these are wonderful words, and I'm going to take this bit by bit and make some applications, because there are some important principles that are set forth for us here. It may not look like it, but there are some important and wonderful teachings. First of all, we learn from these words that to have true understanding of the Word of God, to have true understanding of the Word of God, you must have the right attitude. You must have the right attitude. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. To understand the Word of God, in other words, it has nothing to do with the intellect, or at least very little to do with your intellect or how intelligent you are. It has everything to do with your attitude, with your attitude to the Word of God. What is your attitude? If you are not interested in the Word of God, you will not understand it. If you are hostile to the word of God, of course, you will not understand it. You will not make sense of it, no matter how intelligent you are. No matter how great your degree is, whether you know the original languages, church history, you will never get the full and accurate grasp of it. It will always be a mystery to you. This is what the Lord is saying. But however, on the other hand, if you hear the word of God with a sincere desire to know the Lord, then there is a difference. Then there is a considerable difference because your attitude has changed. If you come to the word of God actually seeking salvation, seeking to be saved, then you will receive that understanding, willing to obey. If any man will do his will, if any man is willing to obey, he shall know of the doctrine. He shall be given understanding. So it's not about our intellect. Can we understand this? It's about our attitude. Are we humbly coming to the word of God? Are we willing to know the Lord? Are we willing to obey the word of God? With obedience comes understanding. Dear friends, this is how it was when I was saved. When I was saved, well, I had read the word of God many, many times as a young person, as a child, as a teenager. I never understood it. I didn't understand the preaching of the word either, even though it was no doubt very simple. But why was that? Well, because I didn't have the right attitude. I wasn't interested in the word of God. I was hostile to the word of God. I wanted the world. I didn't want the Lord Jesus. So therefore, I didn't understand it. But when I came to the word of God with the right attitude, when I came actually seeking the Lord, Lord, help me, crying out, then lo and behold, understanding was given. Understanding that I didn't have before because I didn't care about it. But now when you actually desire, you want to learn of God, you want to obey him. This is what is being said here. If any man will do his will, that's your attitude. It's your attitude. It's not your intellect. He shall know of the doctrine. That is the key. And when I approach the word of God like that, well, then everything changed. Then I began to understand. So this is how it is. Are you willing to obey the word of God? Are you willing to seek the Lord through the word? Are you willing to be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word? If that is your attitude, well, then you will obtain understanding. But if it is not your attitude, if you have no intention of obeying this word, you will never understand it. You'll never understand it. It's about attitude. And just to add to that, this is how it works. Now, there are many things that are hard to understand in the scriptures. Many things that are hard, even for those who have walked with the Lord many years, perhaps, there are things that are hard to understand in the scriptures. But then also there are things that are not hard to understand in the scriptures. There are things that are very clear and very simple. Now, the question is, do you obey the simple things? Do you obey the simple things, or do you get bogged down with the things that you don't understand and say, well, I'm not going to obey any of it because I don't understand all of it? That is not the right attitude. There are things in the Word of God that are very simple to understand. And when you obey those things, then greater understanding is given. That is the principle. This is what the Lord is saying. Don't worry so much about the things you don't understand. Worry about the things you do understand. Worry about whether you are obeying them and believing them. And when you do that, greater understanding will be given. This is what I so often say. I very often say this. Those who have the greatest understanding of doctrine, the greatest understanding, the greatest peace with the Word of God, are not those who are the most intelligent. They are the ones who are the most obedient. I've seen this in churches. People who are uneducated, never been to university, they have a sound grasp of doctrine more than an educated person because they are obedient. It's their attitude. And even the Old Testament teaches this. In Psalm 25, verse 14, we read, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. In other words, those mysteries, the deep things of God, those things that are hard to grapple with, hard to understand, they will be shown to those that fear the Lord. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, that obey him. It's with those who are humble and obedient. They are the ones who will be granted understanding. Psalm 36, you know these words. In thy light shall we see light. In thy light shall we see light. In other words, if you obey God, if you walk in the light humbly, obediently before your God, then you shall see further light. In thy light shall we see light. Dear friends, this is the principle. It has so little to do with intellect, so little to do with the things you imbibe, the books you read. Yes, those things are good. But true understanding, if any man will do his will, it depends on our attitude. J.C. Ryle put it this way, by doing or by obeying we will come to knowing. That's how Ryle puts it. By obeying or by doing, we will come to knowing when we humbly obey. So in order to understand the deep things of God, just to summarize, we must obey the simple things of God, and the Lord, well, he will reward us. Augustine, just one more quote. He said, understanding is the reward of faith. That puts it very succinctly and very correctly. Understanding is the reward of faith. And well, this is supports what the Lord is saying, doesn't it? If any man will do his will, obedience, faith, trusting in the Lord, he shall know of the doctrine. And then we have the second part of verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, this develops the reasoning a little further. This passage teaches us that when we have the right attitude, not only will we be granted greater understanding ourselves, but we will be able to tell or to discern if somebody else has the right attitude and understanding of the Word of God. In other words, we will be able to discern true teaching from false teaching. If we are obedient, if we desire to honor the Lord and glorify him in all things, not only will we have greater understanding, but we will be able to discern who is teaching the right thing, who is teaching the wrong thing. Whether it be of God, he will be able to know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You'll be able to tell who is true and who is false. You know, so many people are taken in by false teaching. They're taken in by false teachers. So many thousands of people, millions of people around the world. One of the great reasons why that is because they themselves, those thousands, those multitudes, they themselves don't have the right attitude. They themselves are not really willing to honor God and willing to put God first. They don't have the right attitude, and so they're so taken in by others who don't have the right attitude. They can't discern. It starts with them. They have the wrong attitude, and so they are taken in by other false teachers. They don't have the discernment. And, well, I was speaking to somebody just the other day, and I've mentioned this many times. Those who are earnestly seeking to know the will of God, they can see through false teachers. We have known of people who have come from churches, and they have been saved in those churches, but once they were saved, Once they desired to truly honor God, then they suddenly realized there are false teachers in my church. They could never see it before, but now they're saved, you see. Now they want to honor God, and now they have been given discernment, understanding what is true doctrine, what is false doctrine. And so they've had to leave those churches and go somewhere where the right doctrine is taught. Now they go to these places and they know. Dear friends, I think I'm not alone in saying this, but if you are truly saved and you hear someone preaching the word of God, we all know whether someone really loves the Lord or whether someone doesn't. We know it. We have that discernment. If we ourselves are walking right with the Lord, we cannot be easily deceived. And this is the thrust of the teaching here. We will know when somebody truly loves the Lord. If any man will do his will, if we are faithful, we shall know of the doctrine ourselves, and we will know whether what we are being taught is true or false. We will know that. We will know whether somebody is speaking the truth. And by the way, we will love the truth. Somebody you go into, sometimes you go into a church, maybe you're on holiday or something, and you're not entirely sure of what the preaching will be like. When you hear sound preaching, well, doesn't your heart warm? You have an instant affection for that person. You love that preacher. You have that discernment. You know it. This is everything that the Lord is alluding to here. If any man will do his will, so it starts with us, with our state. He shall know of the doctrine. He shall be given understanding, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So discernment also is given. It's speaking of holiness. It's speaking of understanding. And it's speaking of discernment. But then verse 18, and this will be our last verse this evening. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Well, essentially in this verse, the Lord is making the contrast between the Pharisees and himself, or the leading Jews and himself. The leading Jews, the scribes, the Pharisees, are those that seek their own glory. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. He's really speaking about those Jews who want to kill him. But then the second part of verse 18, he speaks of himself. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him. God the Father has sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He's speaking of himself. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. You can trust me, I speak the truth. He knows that these Jews have been calling him a deceiver. He deceiveth the people. How foolish that is. How untrue that is. Christ is truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's speaking of himself. He that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. The Lord, our Savior. But this is the example that the Lord gives to us, to glorify God, to point to him. He that speaketh of himself cannot do that. When we read he that speaketh of himself, really that's speaking of an unregenerate man, an unconverted man. The Pharisees, the scribes, those who opposed the Lord Jesus, they were unconverted men. And so all they can do ultimately is seek their own glory. This is the nature of man. If they are unregenerate men, unconverted men, no matter how good they sound, really ultimately all they are capable of doing is seeking their own glory, glorifying themselves. That is what they do. They cannot do anything else. But on the other hand, he that seeketh his glory that sent him, or he that seeks the glory of God, he that is saved, he that is born again, he that has the Holy Spirit, It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to glorify God. We could never do it as unregenerate man. Unregenerate man cannot glorify God. It's only somebody who is saved. Only he can glorify the Lord and point to him. So, dear friends, this is, of course, well, it's a very obvious point. We as Christians, we don't glorify ourselves. How many cults in time past? How do you recognize a cult? Let me put it that way. Well, they make too much of a man. They make too much of a prophet or a so-called prophet. They will speak of men very highly, but he that is true, somebody who is truly saved, a true preacher, they will be fixed on Christ. They will speak of Christ. They will not vaunt themselves. They will not speak of themselves. We read in Acts 10, don't we? Acts 10, verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness. To the Lord Jesus give all the prophets witness. That's how you know a true prophet. That through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. So a true prophet will not point to himself. To him, to Christ, give all the prophets witness. And they will speak about the remission of sins. That's how you know a true prophet. They won't be scared to speak about Christ and him crucified, and about sin, and about the forgiveness of sin. That's a true prophet. The Apostle Paul as well said, didn't he? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That's a true prophet. That's a true Christian. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 5. Dear friends, this is a very simple and obvious point to close with, but we have to be careful of this, of course. Even churches, even good churches, can start preaching themselves, or can start acting as though, well, we are the most important thing. We are a wonderful church. We are all wonderful people. Come and join us. Our ministries are great. You'll have a wonderful time. We have good socials. Sometimes churches can fall into that trap. They start preaching themselves. But we have to preach Christ. That's the way of blessing. We don't preach ourselves. That's what unregenerate men do. That's what people do who are not saved. They preach themselves, ultimately. We are a regenerate group of people, and the Holy Spirit has given us the ability, the capability, not to glorify ourselves, but to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's what we do. That's the way of blessing. And this is the teaching of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.